Good morning. Welcome to the Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. Thank you for spending part of your day with us here. If you're listening live, we really appreciate that. And you know, if you're listening later via podcast, well, have a blessed day no matter what day of the week it is. And as these shows are recorded, some of the things we'll be talking about today are rather proximate, but as you hear them on the radio, it's going to be kind of like a time capsule. So you'll be able to listen back to what life was like in the summer of 2024.
The olden days.
The old and the good old olden days, you know, back when they were merely trying to kill presidential candidates and things like that, when things were simple and kind. But seriously, there are so many things going on coming so fast. It seems a little reminiscent of what happened the summer of 2020, where the news cycle was just on hyperdrive. And here we are, another presidential season, and the news cycle feels like it's on hyperdrive once more. I'm not sure if that's a coincidence or if I'm imagining that or what have you. But we do want to start today talking about the whole Trump assassination thing. But not the X's and O's. And I mean, we might touch upon that. You know, how did the guy get up on the roof? And why didn't the Secret Service do a better job? But really, this is the faith debate. And I want to take some time to talk about some of the biblical, theological, church world stuff that was talked about in ways maybe that it shouldn't have been, or that, or maybe in some cases we'll give an attaboy. Maybe we did a good job talking about some of these things, or things were completely ignored that should have been talked about. The first thing I want to bring up is the Ephesians 6:11. Apparently, I wouldn't have known this if people didn't make the Ephesians 6:11 connection, but apparently the bullet whizzed past Donald Trump and clipped his right ear at 6:11 p.m. local time. And so people say, oh, it was 6:11. Ephesians 6:11. Full armor of God, don't you know? And that sounds reasonable, right? Totally reasonable. Seriously, I think I'm speaking to a friendly studio audience right now. What is wrong with that sort of biblical exegesis?
Well, they had a 1 in 66 chance of getting it right. Yeah, well, at least all the books that have six chapters.
Yeah, and that's the voice of Elijah Dirksen, by the way. He is a seminary student pursuing his Master's of Divinity degree, and he's been on the show in the past. We were talking about Christian nationalism and maybe some other things. I can't remember exactly. And the other voice you're about to be hearing is that of Imran Razvi, known as Raz, to some of the locals who know him in his business. Higher Ground Financial is a company that he owns, and he's also founded a ministry called...
Conquered by Love.
I don't know. I have a hard time remembering the name of that ministry for some reason. Conquered by Love Ministries online at conqueredbylove.org. You can follow the show, of course, at WFMD.com and householdoffaithinchrist.com. So they had a 1 in 66 chance. That's a really good point, right? Why didn't they pick out one of the
Galatians
other books of the Bible?
6:11 or Job 6:11 or Song of Solomon 6:11.
Yeah. In fact, let's see if I can... Oh, is it not there anymore? Oh, here it is. I actually picked one up just for the sake of it. So here is Genesis 6:11. Now the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence.
Trump must be full of violence.
That works too, right? Like, okay, so yeah, they just randomly pick the time on somebody's watch and pointed to a Bible verse. Mm-hmm. And it is random. There's 66 books in the Protestant Bible. They had a 1 in 66 chance. Well, if you believe that any one of them would apply, they had a 1 in 66 chance. Imran, any additional things you'd like to add to the idiocy?
Well, it seems like people are looking for something, right? They're chasing some kind of mystical thing to attach to this. And why are they doing that? I think, you know, Elijah and I were talking earlier, I think it's because the lack of the church not providing the path to God, the straight understanding of who God is and what God's doing.
Trump has really stepped into the void where we used to look to the church for our source of moral guidance, and now we're going to this womanizing, foul-mouthed presidential candidate because there is a void right now.
Yeah, and I'm going to make a note so I don't forget pastor's void, because I have a thought about that. others have shared similar kinds of ideas in recent days and weeks in the post-Trump assassination attempt world. But I want to finish the Ephesians 6:11 thing first. One of the real, just practical reality problems with trying to do this sort of bizarre cultural proof texting, the numbers in our Bibles like this, the chapter headings and the versifications, are not inspired.
No. Mm-hmm.
They, you know, Paul's not writing Ephesians and saying, chapter 6, mm-hmm. verse 1. Now verse 2. He's not doing that. It's one big long letter. And as recently as about 500 years ago is when we finally have verses in the Bible. So for the first 75% of the current history of the church, there were no verse numbers.
So would you argue that since that was added to God's word, that that person, whoever added that, is going to have all those plagues that the Bible says to have?
Well, I would make the argument on that poor person's behalf. I hope that you're not, that there's nothing to... He's not adding to the word, right? It was merely meant as reference so you could more quickly find things.
More organizational.
Yeah. Turn into your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It's like, bang, okay, I can find it. As opposed to, open your New Testaments somewhere in the middle. There's a paragraph that begins with, now go down four sentences. It would take you, you know, a long time to get to where you're
right.
trying to go.
Right.
And so I don't have a problem with there being versifications, although I will say sometimes they're problematic. Sometimes where these chapter visions or even the verse numbers are placed don't make a whole lot of sense. You know, like there's a new verse in the middle of a sentence. It's like, it's the same thought. Like, why'd you break that into two verses? Or sometimes the thought, like the big, one of the big pieces of the argument isn't ended yet. And now chapter 5, verse 1 starts. It's like, no, but it's... The argument's not over till chapter 5, verse 4. So why didn't you wait until verse 5 to start the new chapter? Like, there's some problems with it. But we can't treat it as though that's inspired. That's it.
For sure.
That's an unhelpful kind of a numerology. Now, I'm not a guy who's opposed to what's called gematria. That's the seeing the letters in words, counting up to numbers and those numbers meaning things. But it's got to actually be in the text, and you have to have reason to think.
That has to be in the mind of the author
right.
when he's using it.
Yeah. Did the Apostle John intend for you to make this gematria connection in the book of Revelation? And I would argue in some cases, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But to artificially just start randomly, willy-nilly picking things and say, oh,
because
there's 12 letters there, 12. That
to me, a lot of these things, like they grab something tangentially related, it reminds me a lot of soft reading and psychics. Like, I'm seeing the letter M out here. Does your name start with M? Well, no, it doesn't. Well, do you have a dog that starts with whose name starts with M? Or maybe you have a mother. And that kind of soft reading to kind of get you to the point where it makes sense.
Right.
Just to kind of pull these connections. And a lot of times it's just pulling at straws.
I still come back to, I think we don't have, the majority of people don't have a strong connection to Jesus and what is really spiritual. So they're seeking spirituality where there is none. And that's why they're grasping at these straws. They're going to any place and say, oh, well, look at this. This is an amazing thing. Now we have something more spiritual to talk about. And it's in the Bible. But there's no leadership in this church of today.
And that brings me back to the point I made the note about that I didn't want to forget. So we're segueing right back to where we were, which is good. I don't disagree that there is a leadership problem in the church. It's actually one of the reasons why I decided to go down the house church path that I took, was I felt like it would give me an opportunity to mentor men and develop more leaders within the church, that sort of thing. So it was one of the driving forces behind me leaving behind. I was going to say abandoning. That's not what right way to think about that, leaving behind the more traditional American model for church and doing a house church. However, I think that also, the way we tend to phrase it and hear it said, begins to also put the finger on what the real problem is. You know, people, they expect to get leadership from their pastor. They're looking to the church for guidance, you know. Yeah, as far as that goes. But only as far as that goes. The real problem is we're not looking to God.
For sure.
Yeah.
For our guidance. We're not looking to his word for the truth and
but
how to make
the thing
things.
Is, the church should be pointing to that. The church should be what directs society in that direction. Think back of, like, John Knox. He was a hugely influential political asset of the church in England and the church in Scotland. But he was the one who dictated what was moral. He was the one who challenged the queen when she was being awful. Eventually, she killed him for it. But because he was standing up to her, and he was actually challenging society's norms, where are those Christians today?
Well, now we're afraid to be canceled, not be killed.
Well, and I think those Christians today do exist. I think it's been a problem throughout the history of the church. It's been a problem throughout the history of mankind, right? Men are prone to being derelict in their responsibilities to take leadership. You know, we see it all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Yeah. You know, that was the big driving force behind what was going on there. Adam abdicated his leadership role. Eve was all too happy to step into the leadership void. And here we are. So I'm not disagreeing with that. But there are so many people, particularly in today's world, where everybody's got a podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, heck, we're on the radio. I mean, if we can be on the radio, come on. So everybody's got some sort of a platform now, and everybody's voicing and taking pot shots at the church, whatever that's supposed to mean. Well, you know, my experience, generally speaking, when I'm reading the Bible, is the pot shots end up getting taken at myself. Right? I'm reading the Bible, and I'm convicted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to, that's when God is the leader, when we're looking to God for our answers, we have a tendency to be looking at a mirror at that point, and we see the warts and freckles of our own complexion, and we realize, I'm falling short. So yes, there are far, and we've talked about it on the show before, so I'm not opposed to, we've named names before on this show. I'm not opposed to that. There are some really bad actors, some horrible pastors and leaders within the church dropping the ball. But if that's where it begins and ends, and let's say you're listening to this show and you're a man, you're like, yeah, those pastors. Okay, that's fine. But now what about you?
Yeah, it's not just the churches that this is that we're calling to account for this. It's every single Christian. Everyone has some kind of sphere of authority, whether it be just as an individual putting to death the sins in your life, whether that be your family, leading them effectively, whether that be your church. You have an awesome influence in your church, and even within the state, go out there and make your voice heard as a Christian, and make sure everyone knows what your values are and knows that they should respect them.
Yeah, I think the society and culture is, as even the missionaries and street preachers and all those, it's all about saving lives, but not really by discipleship. We've talked about this before, and so there's a real lack of where do we go now? We're looking for something, searching for something, and as we're searching, then we try to connect the dots where there may not really be a dot there. And or a line that goes from point A to point B, but we're trying to connect it because we want to have meaning in our lives for what's going on. Now, the Bible does say, well, God puts people in authority, right? There's no one's going to be president of this country unless God allows it. And so with things like that, people are trying to connect those dots. So is God doing this? Is he working through Trump? Well, I was kind of disgusted. I mean, I voted for Trump. I did. And but now he's become pro-choice. He's totally against, you know, it's a baby. And, you know, if it's not a baby, then you're not pregnant. Simple as that, right?
Yeah.
And that actually, itself has really killed my desire to vote for him. I didn't want to do it.
And it's on the agenda for us to get to, maybe not on this show, but we're going to do a series of shows along hot topic current events in the summer and trying to put a biblical lens on it and talk about the theological implications. And I've got some thoughts on that as well. I want to amplify what Imran just said, and Elijah probably does too. By the way, good opportunity to reset. I'm Troy Skinner. This is The Faith Debate. You just heard Imran Razvi, conqueredbylove.org is his website. He's one of the pastors at the church that meets at Imran's. And Elijah Dirksen is a seminary student pursuing his Master's of Divinity degree. And so that's typically the degree you get when you want to become a pastor or get really serious about your ministry efforts. And so that's the path that he is on. So you talk about trying to find these connections and looking for some sort of mystical, spiritual, oh, this is what's going on in the world. How do I make sense of this all? Mm-hmm. And we talked about Ephesians 6:11 already. Another thing that happened in the aftermath of the attempt on Donald Trump's life was the fact that the bullet grazed his right ear. And so he got blood on his right ear. Would you like to expound upon why I'm mentioning the right ear and the blood, Imran?
Well, in Leviticus, God told Moses to sanctify Aaron and his sons. And they sacrificed an animal and used the blood to anoint the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe. And it became very evident, and I've heard pastors preach on this, that he's been anointed. He's got blood on his right ear, right thumb, and right toe. And why right toe? Well, he was seen and heard saying that, I need my shoe is off. So who took his shoe off when he was shot in the ear to anoint his toe? And again, anointing, this is his own blood, first of all, and there was a person that died. It wasn't an animal that was sacrificed. It was a person. I don't know that God is out there in the business of sacrificing people for himself. He's killed people out of anger.
With one major exception. Of course, Jesus.
Yes,
person.
Yes. So. But that's it. I mean, that's Jesus. So he's not doing that. And Jesus rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's him offering himself up as well.
Correct.
I mean, the whole...
Yep.
But there's so many things that are missing. So somebody who hasn't, you know, study the Bible or crack their Bible open in a while, particularly in a book like Leviticus, right? That's the part where people start to read the Bible in a year program, and they get to Leviticus, and by that point, they're done. Yeah.
The funny thing was, in our family worship, we were reading those passages when this was happening. So it was like, well, this is really crazy.
See, so you guys, your family has a prophetic insight.
Exactly.
Here, huh? You've been anointed.
Connecting the dots, we're like, well, this is kind
of
weird.
So here are a couple of things. I don't want to spend, this isn't a Bible study, but I do want to kind of just make the point. So picking up, and it's in Leviticus chapter 14, I think is what Imran's talking about. And picking up with verse 12, then the priest shall take one male lamb and bring it near for a guilt offering. So, was there a priest on the stage with Donald Trump on that day?
Yeah, that Secret Service lady that was bowing behind him.
Was there a male lamb anywhere near what was going on? Was there a guilt offering happening? Was it a religious ceremony, in other words, that was happening? No, it was a political ceremony.
I think the biggest thing that you're missing is this anointing with the blood of the lamb. It pointed to a greater lamb sacrifice. That's the point of this. It wasn't, this made these priests so great. It was, we're going to sanctify these priests by pointing to Jesus, who would be sacrificed for them in the future.
It goes on to talk about the male lamb being slaughtered, offered up as a burnt offering in the sanctuary. Again, none of this was present on the day the former president was shot at and hit in the ear. The priest shall then take some of the blood of the guilt offering. I'm losing my lines here. And the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of, it wasn't on his lobe. Mm-mm. I never saw any blood on his thumb. Were there pictures of blood on his thumb? I never did see.
I don't know.
I mean,
I'm sure he probably grabbed his ear.
Yeah, and it got on his hands, right? Because he reached up, and so it definitely got on his hands somehow. But that's not the same. Anyway, and I don't know. I guess the only way that you could talk about the right toe is if somehow blood dripped onto his big toe when his shoe came off.
Right. Who took his shoe and sock off?
Which is bizarre, by the way, right?
Yeah.
You hear that on a tape on afterwards, like they're trying to get on stage. Wait, let me get my shoe.
He wanted to be comfy.
Why did he take his shoes off? Or did they tackle him and knock him out of his shoes or something? Like, that's bizarre.
But then his sock would have to come off, too, unless the blood went through the sock. And I mean, that's just, you're grabbing at things. And, yeah, he probably used his right hand to touch his right ear and got blood on his thumb. And then, you know, maybe one Secret Service agent stomped on his foot and he had to take his toe out to rub his toe with his bloody hand, and now his toe has got blood out. I don't know. But there are pastors that have been actually pushing this all through summer. There have been several different churches, several different pastors that have been on the air and putting videos on how this is just an anointing from God and how Trump is going to be here. He's going to save this country. He's going to save these people. He's going to save Christianity. I don't think any of that's true.
I think God's going to use Trump as he wants to.
But I don't think he's anointed.
No.
Well, God is using Joe Biden as he wants to, yeah. Kamala Harris as he wants to. He used Barack Obama as he wanted to.
People see this as, well, God sovereignly protected him from being assassinated. That's true, but the same would also apply if Joe Biden had a near miss with an assassination. It was still part of God's plan for him to survive.
This will blow some people's minds, you know, who aren't used to thinking this way. God sovereignly, his hand was sovereignly involved in the assassination attempt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Nothing happens outside of God's control, or he's not sovereign.
Absolutely.
So, he's protected from what God orchestrated to begin with. You see what I'm saying? We've got to be really careful.
What I would disagree with would be this is uniquely part of God's plan as opposed to anything else that's happening, which is, I think, how a lot of people are using it. Just God specifically intervened in this particular instance, but no other time because Trump is God's anointed. I don't buy that.
Now, here's Brandon Biggs, apparently is this gentleman's name, and this made the rounds big time on social media. Let's hear what this prophetic prediction of the Trump assassination apparently made back in March of this year, March 15th, I guess. He said this on his podcast or somebody's podcast or something.
So whenever I saw Trump and I saw a red wave coming out of Michigan, and then I saw Oklahoma, and there was embers of people, and they were all on they had torches all throughout Oklahoma, and they were raising up these torches that looked like fire, and they were bringing forth a new patriotism upon the nation, and it was coming, it was being birthed, and it just kept spreading like fire all throughout America, and I saw Trump rising up, and then...
Now, let's pause there for a half a second and just... Have we seen anything like that? Were there a bunch of torches in Oklahoma? Did I miss that news story?
No, it was something about Wisconsin.
I'm just making sure. I mean, I don't watch the news like I used to, so maybe I missed that one, but okay, let's see what he has to say next.
I saw an attempt on his life. This bullet flew by his ear, and it came so close to his head that it busted his eardrum.
All right, now, wait a minute. It went whizzing by his ear. In fact, what actually happened in history is that the bullet hit Donald Trump's ear. It didn't whiz by his ear. Mm-hmm. So that's a factual error in this prophecy.
And his eardrum was
Secondly,
not.
His eardrum was not busted or whatever he said, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's two errors in this prophecy. Let's give him the benefit. Let's listen a little more.
And I saw he fell to his knees during this time frame, and he started worshiping the Lord. He got radically born again during this time frame. I'm talking, people say he's saved now, but he becomes really on fire for Jesus. For what?
So, did he fall to his knees worshiping?
He got tackled.
He might have fallen on his knees back there, but I don't think he came up worshiping, and I don't think he never repented. He never made a statement that he did give credit to Jesus. He did credit to God that God saved him.
I heard him say credit to God. Did he say Jesus specifically? I don't know if I caught that.
I don't know. I don't remember. But he did give credit to God several times, and by the grace of God, by God's mercy, I'm here. So he gave credit
to
God.
And he was saved because God's on his side.
Yes.
I heard him say that too.
God's a Republican, right?
Has he changed?
But God's not on anybody's side, right? And the question is whether or not we're on God's side,
yes.
Right? That's the question. And now there's a little bit more to this. I'm not sure that I remember how this ends, but let's see if there's anything else interesting here.
What I saw coming, and then I saw people interceding when I saw him winning the presidency through great the Lord showed me it would go clear into the summer. Great persecution would come on him through the judges and through the law and all these people trying to sue him and all this stuff. But there would be a stop to it, and there things would start to break free come toward the fall. And then I saw him winning the election through the patriots coming out and voting.
All right, so the lawfare, that's not a prophetic. That was just in the news. That's news coverage. And the whether he wins or not.
And now, MSNBC's special.
Gave you a pre-advertisement there for MSNBC. Sorry about that. So there's no way to know right now whether or not he's going to win. But whether he wins or not, I mean, he had a 50-50 chance of calling that one.
Right.
This guy's getting credit as being like a true prophet who predicted the assassination down to the detail, people were telling me. Mm-hmm. What am I missing? Am I missing something?
To be fair, I hadn't seen the video before and him guessing the right ear. I can see how some people would think, oh, that's awesome. He actually
close enough.
He actually
enough.
Predicted it. But yeah, this is what I think a lot of these
Elijah's a real Christian. He's generous and kind-hearted, not like me, jaded and bitter and angry at the world. Okay.
Well, here's my jaded part. All he's doing is what a lot of false teachers and false prophets do. They throw a lot of things at the wall and see what sticks. They find something that's plausible, a deeply unpopular president who a lot of people are super angry at. Yeah, it's probably likely that he's going to get assassinated or have an assassination attempt.
Well, okay. So I'm not alone in this. So you can send your hate mail to all three of us. Anyway, that's going to be the conclusion of this week's Faith Debate Show. We're just plumb out of time. Elijah Dirksen's the last one you heard speaking before me. I'm Troy Skinner. The other voice you heard today was that of Imran Razvi. Find us online at WFMD.com or householdoffaithinchrist.com. We'll be back next week, and we'll be talking about, I think, the Olympics. That's what's next on our agenda here on News Radio 930 WFMD. Can we talk?